Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. You've blessed us with so much. All this time we've spent growing close to you through lifting up these songs and now the blessed opportunity to be able to get into your word. Please help us now as we study. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to have the communion, that fellowship that you have desiring for us to have. We thank you so much for that. Lead, guide, direct all this as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Communion with the Lord. If you look at the word communion, if you look at the use of it in the New Testament, the word communion and the word fellowship, it's the same Greek word. So when we're considering communion, we need to also be considerant as fellowship. But when we have communion with the Lord, we're having fellowship with the Lord. When we have fellowship with one another, we are having communion with one another. We have also given the sacrament or the title communion to the memorial that we participate in, eating of the bread and drinking of the wine or juice as a memorial to what Jesus Christ did for us and as he told us to do. So in that, we have defined the word communion to represent just that sacrament, but really you look a little deeper, communion does mean fellowship. So when we take of the communion service or participate in a communion service, we are acknowledging and reinforcing an acknowledgement of our fellowship with the Lord. This all began as a memorial to the Lord on that night, that late afternoon, I should say, when the Lord had that meal, the Passover meal, with the disciples in the upper room. Now, the Passover had been established all the way back there in Exodus chapter 12, verses 11 through, well, most of chapter 12, is concerning the Passover. The last of the plagues that came upon Egypt, Pharaoh, at the Exodus, the beginning of the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt, where the death angel came through and killed the firstborn of all of the Egyptians. Moses is given the instruction to kill a lamb. Each family would kill a lamb and eat that lamb, and take the blood from that lamb, and put it on the side post of the door and across the top of the door, the lintel. And when the death angel would come, they would see that and pass over that house. Passing over that house, not striking judgment on that house. But all those that didn't have that, the judgment was upon them. We have the blessing now of having our sins covered with blood, so when judgment comes, the blood will be seen and judgment will be passed over. Death will not come to us if we have trusted as Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior and been cleansed in His blood. But let's look at the account in Matthew chapter 26, where the Lord's coming into Jerusalem for that last week known as the Passion Week, to honor the Passover and the events that unfold, and how he brings in the proclamation of the New Covenant or New Testament church. In Matthew chapter 26, let's pick it up in verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house and with thy disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, or covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's house. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So when we take of the communion, we are consuming or representing the consuming of the body and blood of Jesus Christ by taking it in as a representation. Because when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He comes into us in the form of the Holy Ghost. And that begins a fellowship, a communion between us and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost directly to Jesus Christ and the Father, tying us all in to the most spectacular relationship available, a fellowship with God Almighty, with the Son and the Holy Ghost, all because we take that in. And what we represent when we go through a communion service is the taking in of the body of Jesus Christ and of being cleansed by being rinsed and washed in that blood of Jesus Christ by representing the drinking of the juice or wine, is that represents His blood, the forgiveness that is available because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because it's by His shed blood that we have salvation available to us. Because He paid the ultimate price for sin. Over in 1 Corinthians, Corinth was an interesting place. It had a lot of problems, a lot of issues. Very similar to what we're dealing with today. You could say this applies very closely the behaviors that we see in the U.S. of what Corinth was into. They were a pretty mixed up bunch. So Paul spent a lot of time teaching them. The two letters to the Corinthians. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, pick it up in verse 23. Here he's reminding them of and speaking of the event that we just read in Matthew. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's why we have a communion service, to memorialize the event of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. To memorialize and to connect ourselves to that event, acknowledging that we have that fellowship, that communion with God. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Once again, in remembrance of him. That's what it is. It's a memorial to what he has done for us. Acknowledging that. It's not to be taken lightly. Verse 26, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Acknowledging, remembering it, cherishing it. Verse 27, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about there? This is a caution that's going out. This is a caution that was going out to those Corinthians. They had gotten so off track where they became legalistic, you might say, in some of their behavings. They had become religious, not truly spiritual relationship with the Lord, but a religious relationship with the Lord. Going through the motions, hollow, no real content, just for the appearance of it, just to be seen of it. We see this happening so much in people's lives. When they get involved in something that is a ritual, even if something as important as the communion, they join in on it because they want to be part of the group. They want to be seen as being spiritual and religious and righteous by participating in the communion service. But they don't have the true heart for the Lord. And they have taken it, as he says, unworthily. They did not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They just got into it because they liked the group. They liked the social connection. They liked the events. They liked the recognition of it. They liked the praise of it. Whatever the reason may be. But if they do it for the wrong reasons, look what the caution that comes to them. 27 again. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Damnation, that's a harsh word. For simply eating a cracker and drinking some juice, yes, if you're doing it because you're a hypocrite, because you're doing it for praise, you're doing it because you just want to be a part of the group, you're doing it because you want some bread and juice, whatever, if it's not sincerely done for the right reason, this caution goes to them. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Unworthily. This can also be attached all the way back up there to where it says to examine yourself in verse 28. But let a man examine himself. We need to look at ourselves very closely. Is there something going on in our lives that is against the will of the Lord? Are we doing something that would be considered a sin or misconduct or disobedient? Are we one of those disobedient children it speaks of in there? Because that would apply to a truly born-again Christian that has backslidden, that is doing something he's not supposed to be doing, but hasn't got it right with the Lord. They would tie in here as well. So this caution doesn't only go to those that are just pure hypocrites that aren't even born again, they come in and be a part of the group. It also goes to those that are truly born again Christians but are disobedient children that need to examine themselves, that need to look over their lives. Is there something in your life that isn't quite right? Something you need to be taken care of? Something you need to confess to the Lord? That you need to get washed? That you need to get taken care of? Do that before you take of communion. Otherwise, this caution goes to you as well. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Wow, that verse 30 is a harsh one there. For the cause of someone participating in the works of the Lord unworthily will receive, as it says, damnation, causing them to be sickly and die. Because that's what he's talking about, sleep. When you participate in the work of the Lord, you best do it worthily. Whatever work it is, if you are in the work of the Lord, which means you are a born-again Christian because you become part of the work of the Lord. You best not be a hypocrite, a born-again Christian that is a backslider, that is a hypocrite as well. because that caution is going to you, most severely to you. And there is accountability for your actions, all of them. We need to get it washed in the blood. We need to get it taken care of. Otherwise, things can come upon us. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Simply put, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Chastened. That's that correction. That's that possibly weakness, sickly, and sleep. That's the chastisement of the Lord for a disobedient child. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Further teaching them. Because there was some that was coming to this celebration, this memorial, back there in Corinth in the time of Paul. They would have a big feast. They would have what's called an agape meal and the Passover. And as part of that, they would do the ritual that we call communion as part of that big feast. Some were coming there because it was a meal. As we see so often in church today, when you have a meal offered at church, it seems like people come out of the woodwork to come to that. They're coming in to be a part of the church to get a meal. Caution's going to them. Don't be doing that. If all you're doing is coming to the church because you're there to find out what you can get for yourself, wrong attitude to take. Is that why you come to church? Church at any time, whether there's a meal or not, do you come there selfishly seeking something from the Lord because you want something? Do you come and you pray, gimme, 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 and that's all you're interested in is taking from the Lord? No, wrong attitude. You need to come and see what you can give to the Lord, not what you can take from the Lord. 1 John, the small epistle of John, 1 John chapter 1. When we examine ourselves, as it says there in verse 28, but let a man examine himself. What do we need to do? We need to look very closely at our behavior, our attitudes, our faith, our trust. And then apply the guidance that we see in 1 John chapter 1, pick up verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's communion, fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Is your joy full? Are you truly happy as a Christian? Are you looking forward to eternity? Are you anxious for judgment? Are you really looking forward to it? If you are, then your joy is full. Are you enjoying the opportunities the Lord puts before you to be in this realm and be a part of His work? It's available for the taking. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to admit that we have failings. We need to admit it when we've done something wrong. We need to confess it to Jesus Christ. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We're given the instructions, the guidelines, the ordinances, and so forth, so that we will not sin. But if we do mess up, if we do fail, if we examine ourselves and find something that's sitting there nagging, letting us know, hey, you need to get this taken care of, we have that opportunity, as it says. If any man sin, we have an advocate. It's like an attorney, a middleman, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our mediator. He is our high priest. He is the one we take everything to and ask forgiveness for. And he is the propitiation for our sins. We don't have to worry about paying anything for it. When we sin, he's already paid for it. He's washed us in the blood completely. And we mess up, we go back, he can wash us again. Like I've said so many times, it isn't that you get born again and again and again. No way. You get born again once. That doesn't mean you stay pure and clean the rest of your life. You mess up, you need to get back and get washed in the blood. You get a nice clean outfit, you go out, you stumble, you fall down, you're in the mud, you need to get up and get it cleaned. Same thing. You've been cleansed. You stumble, you know you're dirty. You can see it. Look in a mirror, you see it. You don't even have to look in a mirror sometimes. You look down, take a good close look at yourself. If it's messed up, take it to the Lord. Get it washed. He paid for it. He wants us to do that, not to carry that stain around. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid the price for everything, all sin of all mankind. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. We've been given the blessing of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter 14, where he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost that's within us. We can have a constant communion with the Holy Ghost. As he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. That's what we need to stay focused on. That constant fellowship, that constant communion with the Holy Ghost. And don't quench that by messing up. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it says, quench not the Spirit, means don't choke it out. When you disobey, when you become a disobedient child, you're damaging your communion, your fellowship with the Lord, by messing up your relationship with the Holy Ghost that is within you, that is right there guiding you, letting you know when you've done something wrong. Are you ignoring him? Are you quenching him? Are you silencing him? Or are you listening to him? So we all need to examine ourselves before we go into this sacrament and see, is there something that needs to be taken care of? I urge you all to please stand now and let's have a moment of prayer before we enter into this communion service, so that we can all take a moment to examine ourselves and lift it up, give it to the Lord, confess, ask, is there anything, Lord, that I need to get taken care of? If so, help me do that thing right now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the many blessings you put upon us each and every day, and the blessed opportunity to be able to come to you when we do mess up, when we do stumble. We can come and get things taken care of. Help us to do that and give us that full joy that you speak of, so that we can go out into the world and shine that love and joyfulness into everybody that we encounter, to draw them in to be a part of your family as well. We thank you so much for that. And please do help everybody that is here this morning to take a good close look at themselves and to examine their hearts and their minds and their thoughts. And if there be anything in there that needs to be taken care of, that they lift it up and give it to you and get it taken care of right now. Get it washed in the blood so that we can enter into this communion service worthy to be a participant in it. We thank you so much. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As the Lord took that bread and broke it into pieces and they passed it around, each one of them took a piece of that bread and they consumed it as they were consuming the body of Jesus Christ, which is what we all want to do. Everyone gets a piece here. We'll all participate at the same time. And consider it, actually taking the Lord right into you, a memorial to that very event, that you have received Jesus Christ into you, in the form of the Holy Ghost, making that connection so that you do have true fellowship with the Lord, that you do have true communion with the Lord. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for us, let us eat together. And when he took that cup and he passed that around, that cup of wine, as it says in the New Testament, the King James Version, but if you look back and do the research, it was fresh, non-fermented, fresh juice. That's why we use a fresh, clean juice. Because the fermented wine would not properly represent memorial to the blood of Jesus Christ. As a fermented wine is a process that is decaying and rotting. The Lord's blood never decayed or rotted, so it's fresh and clean. That's why we use the fresh juice to represent the blood of Jesus Christ. This cup representing the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which we have forgiveness for our sins, let us drink together. As it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day you've blessed us with. The entire day, all so much you've given us. Help us to utilize it all to the fullest. Help us to share it with others as well, and help us all to grow closer to you, and give us the boldness and to step up and proclaim you as Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way, and help us to realize the importance of doing this memorial here, to recognize what you did for us, that ultimate sacrifice of giving us your body and your blood, so that we can have a relationship with you, so that we can become part of your family, and be looking forward to so much. We thank you, oh, so much for that, and please do bless each and every one of us as we go out into the world to bring honor and glory to you more and more each step that we take growing closer to you. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.